Welcome back to the Townships at 12, and I'm your host, Maureen. In the second part of today's show, we will hear the second part of the interview that I did with Matthew Farfan, Executive Director of the Quebec Anglophone Heritage Network, QAHN. I will also have some health news and some music. So let's get part two started with a song called The Orange and the Green. It's by the Irish Rovers. You're listening to CJMQ 88.9 FM, better known as The Cube.
Up that you have ever seen. Me father, he was orange, and me mother, she was green. Oh, my father was an Ulster man, a Protestant was he. My mother was a Catholic girl from County Cork, with she. They were married in two churches, lived happily enough, until the day that I was born, and things are rather tough. Oh, it is the biggest mix-up that you have ever seen. My father, he was orange, and my mother, she was green. Baptized by Father Riley, I was rushed away by car, to be made a little orange man, my father's shining star. I was christened David Anthony, but still in spite of that, to my father I was William, while my mother called me Pat. Oh, it is the biggest mix-up that you have ever seen. My father, he was orange, and my mother, she was green. With mother every Sunday to mass I proudly strolled, and after that the orange lodge would try to save my soul. For both I tried to claim me, but I was smart because I played the flute or played the harp, depending where I was. Oh, it is the biggest mix-up that you have ever seen. My father, he was orange, and my mother, she was green. One day me man's relations came round to visit me, just as my father's kinfolk were all sitting down to tea. We tried to smooth things over, but they all began to fight, and me be strictly neutral, I bashed everyone in sight. Oh, it is the biggest mix-up that you have ever seen. My father, he was orange, and my mother, she was green. Now my parents never could agree about my time at school. I learned that what I've done at home, that's why I'm such a fool.
That's right.
They both passed on, God rest them, but left me caught between that awful cover problem of the orange and the green. Oh, it is the biggest mix-up that you have ever seen. My father, he was orange, and my mother, she was green. Yes, it is the biggest mix-up that you have never seen. My father, he was orange, and my mother, she was green.
Welcome Matthew Farfan, Executive Director of the Quebec Anglophone Heritage Network, and this is the second part of the interview that I did with him. Now, QAHN aims to build bridges between English-speaking and Francophone communities. How does that show up in your work?
Well, a lot of our programming, obviously, is in English because that's our mandate, is to provide English-speaking programming primarily. But some of it is in both. A good example of that is the SHARE project. So the SHARE project, you know, organizations can submit an application for funding in French or English. All the material is both in both languages, all the publicity and so on. The only stipulation is that the project has to be in some way connected to the English-speaking community, because that's our mandate. And it has to help build bridges between the English-speaking community and the Francophone community. So that's a really nice example of raising awareness and encouraging the two communities to work together and not so much to be in their little silos. So, yeah, it's a great example of that.
Mm-hmm.
We also work, I would add, regularly with the Fédération Histoire Québec, which is the Francophone equivalent of ourselves. They are largely Francophone organizations, but not only. So periodically we work together. Sometimes we co-host events. They're actually hosting their 2027 convention in Sherbrooke, and we have a couple of our board members that are helping on their organizing committee. So, cooperation.
Now, local organizations and even small ones can get involved with Kwan and benefit from what you offer. And I guess one of the ways is through the MATCH program. Anything else, or did you want to elaborate more on the MATCH program?
Yeah, I would say the first thing is to, you know, if you don't know what we do, get, you know, call us up or come and visit the office, or just, you know, visit our website and see what we do, see what we offer. We try to keep, we have a membership structure, so it's very modest. It's not about making money. It's about committing to the mission. So become a member by all means, not just, you know, organization, but an individual and a family. And, you know, we have students who are members. Just join up if you support what we do. And most of what we offer is free with a membership. And that includes our quarterly magazine. It's called Quebec Heritage News, and it goes out to everybody who's a member. And it's free if you're a member. And it's a great magazine. It circulates across Canada and elsewhere, in fact. So join up. It makes you, you know, gives you eligibility for all kinds of support, not just the MATCH training, but potentially funding, invitations to things. And like I said, most of what we do is free. We often have events, special events, and we try to keep everything free. So it's well worth it, and I encourage everyone to look into it.
Mm-hmm. And membership, what is the cost?
Well, if you're an individual, it's $30 a year, or 3 years if you want a better deal, an even better deal. It's $75, and it gets cheaper if you buy it for 5 or 10 years. So institutions a little bit more, but not much.
Okay, that is so definitely reasonable.
It's a good deal, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are some memorable collaborations or community events that Kwan has helped make happen recently?
There are so many. I guess off the top of my head, I could think of one very recent one, which I mentioned, the Heritage Talks program. And we found that the most successful talks events that we've hosted are the ones that are done in collaboration with local organizations or historical sites or community centers. And we had a talk just a couple of weeks ago. It's called Ballads, Singers, and History, Chapeau 1975. And this was all about folk song tradition in Chapeau, which is a community in the Ottawa Valley. And what made this really special was we had this fabulous guest speaker, Shelley Posen, who is a singer and musician. He's also a scholar in Canadian folk music tradition. The event, it was a lot of fun. It's part of it, of course, is music. The theme of the entire Heritage Talks program this year is musical heritage. So this was the first one to kick off the series. And what was really fun and unusual and spontaneous was that one of the people, one of the locations on the, it was online on Zoom, and we live stream it on Facebook, on YouTube as well. It was shown at a local seniors community center in Chapeau. And towards the end of the event, a number of the seniors, each one got up to the mic and spontaneously started just singing and doing these fabulous songs on camera for the audience. It was totally unplanned, and it was just a really nice way to wind down the event, and just sharing, and it made it special because it was spontaneous, and these were some of the people that, you know, it's kind of an intangible heritage. Music is something that touches all of us, and communities have, in many cases, have their own distinct musical traditions, whether it's, you know, folk songs, ballads, fiddle music, bagpipes, you name it. There are so many. And this series, the Heritage Talk series, is just starting, and it's all over the map. We have Caribbean music, we have pipers, we have square dancing in Kenyon's Mills. We've got organ music in Sherbrooke. There's a lot of really, really interesting traditions that we're going to be exploring. And as I said, the most successful ones are the collaborative ones. That there's another host on there, another institution that's helping promote it to their own network of people, so it gets an even bigger reach that way. So it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a really nice event. Now, you're celebrating 25 years, Kwan. Any special celebration planned?
Well, we've been celebrating it for a while now, most of 2025. We kicked off the year with a new book on 25 years of advocacy, which is what we do. We advocate for the heritage community, the heritage of our English-speaking Quebec. So it's ongoing, I guess. We were founded in November 2000. And so we've just achieved the 25th year mark. So, yes, everything we did over 2025, the past year, was connected to our awards, including coming up with a new and improved 21st century logo. But we're doing our awards ceremony, our annual awards ceremony. We've been doing a special, live event in person at a heritage venue. We like to do them in Montreal because it's fairly central and, most people can get to it. They're doing it at Maison Saint-Gabriel this year, which is somewhere we've never done an event. This is a fabulous 17th century farmhouse in Montreal, and most people have surprisingly not heard of it. It's a little off the beaten track, so it should be special. We're going to have guided tours, and this event's on June 27th, so it'll be nice. Hopefully, it'll be a nice summer day. But we hope to be able to recognize some of those deserving volunteers that we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm. Now, any priorities or goals for the next few years?
Oh my Lord, stay the course. Stay the course. By all accounts, we seem to be doing what we set out to do. Our funders recognize that we seem to be doing a good job. The SHARE project is our biggest monetarily speaking project to date. It was kicked off in connection with our 25th, and it's well over $1 million that we're receiving to basically give out most of to the community. So that's a major priority. I said stay the course because the SHARE project was a sign that we are doing a good job in the eyes of one of the people that you could argue is the most important is our funder, right? We wouldn't be able to do any of the things that we do without funding. So when your funder recognizes that you're doing a good job, it has to count for something. So stay the course. Our membership certainly seems to think so. We just did our annual member survey, and it's pretty amazing and gratifying to see the comments. And I think the total of recipients that responded that we were doing an excellent or very good job was something like 98%. So, I'm pretty pleased with it. I'm fortunate to have a great staff to work with and a really excellent board. We've been very lucky over the years. People love the work they do, and it's gratifying, and people in the community benefit from it, and we see that all the time in the feedback. So we're going to keep advocating for our community and for our heritage and for the organizations that work to preserve that heritage. But for sure, we're going to keep doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. My goodness, and 98%, that is awesome.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. Now, for someone who's never engaged with heritage work before, what would you say to encourage them to get involved now?
Why wait? We need you. I would say your local historical society or your local museum needs you. All local institutions, whatever the community groups, whatever the field is, they need volunteers. They need they need people on boards, they need people to help out at events. And museums and historical societies, possibly more than any others, because what we have found is that this is a field that has generally, not totally, but I'd say in the majority, appealed to older people, often retired people, which are the backbone of many local historical groups. And without them, we'd be in deep trouble. It's certainly the case with my own board here at Kwan. We've been very lucky. We've got some amazing retirees that are on our board, and it's fantastic. So, yeah, get involved. Heritage is a precious resource. It's a huge contributor to not only the well-being of our communities. It's something we're proud of. It's a contributor to the economy and tourism. And it's a way to preserve what we have that is connected with our past. So yeah, get involved. Don't wait.
Mm-hmm. And I guess you can get involved by visiting the website. Is it qahn.org?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Anything else we left out that you'd like to add, Matthew?
Well, just that, you know, history and heritage are just so important, I think, as part of our collective identity as Quebecers, as English-speaking Quebecers. We often think of heritage as, old buildings, but it's also a lot of other things, too. It's our history, it's our traditions, our language, our expressions, music, folklore, and all kinds of other things. So it's really the things that help contribute to who we are, where we come from. It's about our identity. So I encourage people not to to wait if they want to get involved. And if we let it, it'll disappear. Heritage is something that has to be protected and nurtured and promoted in as many ways as we can. So, yeah, get involved.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we've been talking with Matthew Farfan, the Executive Director of Kwan, QEHN, Quebec Anglophone Heritage Network, today. And thanks very much, Matthew, and all the best on all the projects.
Maureen, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good week. And next up, we have some health news here on the Townships at 12. Now, as the days slowly start getting longer in March, many health experts say one of the best habits you can develop is something very simple, going for a walk early in the morning. Research shows that getting outside shortly after waking up can help reset your body's internal clock, also known as the circadian rhythm. Exposure to natural morning light signals to the brain that it's time to be alert and active. This can improve energy levels during the day and help people fall asleep more easily at night. Better sleep is linked to stronger immunity, improved mood, and better overall health. Morning walking also has important benefits for heart health. Even a brisk 20 to 30 minute walk can help lower blood pressure, improve circulation, and reduce the risk of heart disease over time. Doctors say regular walking is one of the safest and most effective forms of exercise because it is gentle on the joints and accessible to most people. Another benefit of morning walks is mental health. Studies show that spending time outdoors early in the day can help reduce stress and anxiety. Natural light helps the brain produce serotonin, a hormone that supports feelings of calm and well-being. Walking before the day becomes busy can also make it easier to stay consistent with exercise. Many people find that when they walk in the morning, they are more likely to maintain the habit because fewer things interfere with their schedule. Experts say you don't have to walk far to see benefits. Even 10 to 20 minutes outside in the morning light can make a positive difference. So as spring approaches, consider starting the day with a simple walk around the neighborhood. It's a small step that can bring big benefits for both body and mind. And that's our health news today on the Townships at 12. I want to thank my guest today, Matthew Farfan from the Quebec Anglophone Heritage Network, QAHN. Check out their website, qahn.org, and become a member. And I want to remind everybody that CJMQ announces community events from nonprofits for free. Just send me a short email at cjmqnews, that's all one word, @gmail.com. And also, if you have an idea for a future interview, please contact me at the same email, cjmqnews@gmail.com. We will close today's show with Foggy Dew. It's by Brian McLowan. Thanks for listening, everybody, and happy St. Patrick's Day.
When I kept off the foggy dew.